firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
You can depend on God. That's one of the many wonderful lessons that we'll learn as we travel the pages of 2 Samuel chapters 23 and 24 and hear the final words of King David. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and our teacher is Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And as you hop aboard the Bible bus and find your seat, let's share a couple of letters that we've recently received from a few of our World Prayer Team members. First, we hear from a listener named Carl. He lives in Washington, D.C. As a member of the World Prayer Team, I really enjoy the testimonies of new Christians. I am brought to tears each time I read how God's Word convicts and penetrates the hardest of hearts. Carl, I know what you mean. I do share some of the daily email messages with friends with the hope that they will join the team. I've been riding the Bible bus for about a year now. My New Year's resolution was to start contributing for gas and tires for the bus. Thank you for what you do. Well, thank you, Carl. It's great to hear from you, and we're so grateful both for your prayers and your financial investment that does help keep the Bible bus traveling through your neighborhood in Washington, D.C., and also around the world. Now, here's another quick letter. This is from a listener named Virginia. It has been an exciting year for the World Prayer Team. God has been honored and trusted. Lives have been changed and demonstrate a purpose that is everlasting. Prayer is powerful. Lord willing, I will continue to be a spoke in the wheel of the Bible bus. God is at work. You know, Virginia, I agree. Prayer is powerful, and it's amazing to see God work around the world and in our hearts as we learn to pray. And if you'd like to join me and Virginia and Carl and thousands of other Through the Bible listeners as we pray for God's whole word to reach the whole world, sign up for the World Prayer Team at ttb.org/pray and do it today. Now it's time to dive into God's Word, so let's pray and begin in 2 Samuel chapter 23 at verse 2. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your Word, and please send your Spirit to guide us and teach us something new, something that'll change our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now friends, last time I had hoped to finish 2 Samuel, but I didn't. But that's all right. We've got 5 years to go through the Bible. So we can afford to stop along the way when we come to a real oasis and just lap up the water of life freely there. Now, we have in chapter 23 David's final words. And we also have a list of his mighty men here, as we've indicated before. And here, David identifies himself, and I suppose this could be called David's autobiography. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high. He's the son of Jesse, a peasant. He was lifted up, elevated to be king over God's people, and he was anointed of the God of Jacob. And that is so wonderful, because the God of Jacob took a man that was not only an ordinary man, but a man that had propensity to do evil. And he took that man, never threw him overboard, but brought him around and made him a mature saint of God, where he could be called Israel, a prince with God. And he did the same with David. He never threw him overboard. And friends, he's had to put up with a great deal from me, and I have an ocean with you also, and he's never thrown us overboard, and he never will throw us overboard, and he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. And we're going to look at his psalms later on. I won't be singing any of them, so don't worry, but we will be looking at them, because the thing that always interests me about a song, well, the tune is important. I either like it or don't like it, and I'm sure that's your experience. But I listen to the words of hymns. I can't sing, but I follow those words. And frankly, many of our hymns, our gospel songs, and a lot of the modern ones, are absolutely puerile. They're sickening, by the way. They are absolutely sickening. And they are filled with saccharine sweetness that is absolutely foreign to the teaching of the Word of God. But I better not get off on that. Let's continue with David now. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The Spirit of God came upon David, and that's the way he wrote his Psalms. That's the way man, as Peter tells us, moved by the Holy Spirit. Carried along by the Spirit of God, they wrote in the Old Testament. Now we find that here, he says, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. I wish today that it could be said we are a Christian nation. We are not. The decisions that are made today in government, regardless of party, it's so obvious, they are not made in fear of God. They are made in fear of the voters. And therefore, no effort is being made to please God today in government. Every effort is being made to please the voters. The one thing, the all-important thing, the mark of success is to be elected. And believe me, people are being taken in today. I was rather amused listening to some men that were out of work because of a decision made in Washington by the Senate. And the interesting thing is, each one of these men was out of work. And he said, well, I voted for that man because he said he was going to vote for this project, and he voted against the project. Well, that's what you get for voting for politicians, friend. All he wanted was to be elected to office. May I say, we need men that ruling in the fear of God. And until we get that, we're going to have corruption in high places. Now, verse 4, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Now, listen to David here. This is one of the more remarkable statements that David made. You'll recall that back in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, I said that is one of the great chapters of the Bible. It's God's covenant with David. God said, I'll bring in your line one. And that is the same one that God had promised to Eve in the Garden of Eden, the same one that God promised to Abraham, renewed the covenant to Isaac and Jacob. It's the same one that Moses talked about. Joshua talked about him. And now we find David having had this covenant made with him by the Lord. Verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is my salvation, and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. Now, what David is saying is simply this. My house is not worthy of this. We didn't get this by merit. It's not because of who I am. If he'd got what was his just deserts, God had never made a covenant with him. Of course not. And he wouldn't have saved you, friends, or me, if it had been on the basis of merit. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Now, God's covenant with us is John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I hold on to that. God made that covenant. I never asked him to make it. He made it. He didn't make it because of who we are. He didn't wait for me to make a suggestion. He did it 1,900 years ago. He says, here it is. Take it or leave it. I take it, by the way. I rest upon that. Now, he says, it's ordered in all things, and sure, you can depend on God. And David says, this is my salvation. Well, God's covenant with me is my salvation. And it's what I desire, my friend. That should be the desire of the believer's heart, although he made it not to grow. Now, we move on down here, and we're given a catalog of the mighty man of David. Verse 8, it says, these be the names of the mighty man whom David had. And these are the men that you will recall came to David during the time that he was exiled. Now, in our notes that we're sending out, or have sent out for 2 Samuel, and I trust you have them for 1 and 2 Samuel, we have there a message, and to me it's the high point of this entire area concerning David. It's water from the well at Bethlehem. Well, what is that? Well, it's when David was being driven by Saul, an outcast, hunted like a partridge, as he says, and having to hide in the dens of the earth, there came to him those that were in distress. They were persecuted, and they were oppressed by Saul, and they came to David. And we have here others that came that got in debt, and they couldn't pay their debt, and others were just discontented, bitter of soul, and they came to David. And that's the way you come to Christ, if you recognize that you're in distress today. And then a debt, the debt of sin. He canceled that debt of sin for us. And are you discontented with life? If you're living it up, friends, and you're a swinger and you're doing all right, I guess I don't have any message for you at all. But if you are discontented, down deep in your soul, you want to be saved. You want to have fellowship with God. Down deep in your heart, you want this guilt complex satisfied, and you want satisfaction in your life. You come to Christ, He'll make it up. Now, these men came to David like that. And these men are outstanding. They did many very wonderful things. I mentioned one or two of them here. Verse 11, we're told, and after him was Shammah, the son of Ag. It almost was Maggi, by the way, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. This one came, he's the one gathered a troop, and he's the one that fought for David. And then we're told here about three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim, and David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water, the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." You know, David was brought up there in Bethlehem, and if you were raised in a little town like I was, maybe we had a windmill in the backyard. This is West Texas, and it's that old Jip water they had out there. But you know, I couldn't wait to get back there one time, and I just lay down on the ground by the faucet, by that well, and just lapped up that water. My, it's delicious. I was raised on it. Took me back to my boyhood. Now, David wanted that water. He never gave a command to anybody to go get him water. But three of these mighty men, they broke through the Philistines. My, I tell you, that's the way they became mighty men. And I think of the command the Lord Jesus gave to go into all the world, preach the gospel. And I think back in the past of the men that broke through the enemy's lines and took the gospel. Think of the missionaries, these pioneer missionaries. I don't like to mention just one. There's so many to mention. But I think of men like Martin Luther. Well, Paul the Apostle, you'd have to start with him. And there were so many. There's a great company that followed after, and they've been breaking through the lines and getting the word out. These are mighty men of David. And we find that in verse 20, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And I love that one, by the way. This fellow slew a lion. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. But he did it when it was snow on the ground. I know a lot of people won't even come to church when it sprinkles rain on the sidewalk. May I say to you, they couldn't have much fellowship with this fella. He was out there when there's snow on the ground. He slew a lion. He's a tremendous man, by the way. And then verse 39, Uriah the Hittite. And then that's that blot on the escutcheon of David. But it's here. It has to be here, you see. Now in chapter 24... we find another sin of David. And actually, there are not many that will label this a sin. I have called this another sin in the life of David. And God's side, it was about as bad as the other, because If you be guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of all. What he did was he did not believe God. And it's evidenced in this. Verse 1 of chapter 24. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel. Now, at the beginning, God had David number the people. And that was to encourage him. That was to strengthen him. That was to let him know that there is a great army back of him. Now, that corresponds to what the Lord Jesus said. If the king's going against an enemy, he's going to sit down and figure whether he'll be able to do it or not. And that's what God wants him to do. And friends, that's what God wants you and me to do. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's not a gamble. Faith is not even a hope-so. Faith is a sure thing. God never asks you to believe something that's not true. Faith rests upon a rock. Our God is a rock, a sure foundation. And he wants you to rest on that. Now, faith, therefore, is not just leaping out into space. But there is a time in your life, my friend, when you need to live and move by faith and recognize you can't do it by your effort or by numbers. And that, unfortunately, the church today has not learned to trust God. And as a result, all the congregational meetings, the spiritual victories are never mentioned. The thing that's mentioned is how much money we got in the treasury, how many we baptized this year, how many members we took in, and if the thing looks pretty good in figures, we consider it's a great spiritual victory, and it might have been the worst thing in the world that could have happened to that church. David sinned in numbering the people here. Why? David now is an old king. David knows that God has put a foundation in under him, and he knows he can overcome the enemy. He didn't need to number these people at all. I think that sometime today the curse of the church is to have a fella in it that's always figuring up something, always putting it down in black and white, knows nothing about the spiritual victories that we should be having. And that is the thing that David did here. Now God gives him a choice of punishment. David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. I'm reading verse 10. And David said unto the Lord, I've sinned greatly in that I've done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I've done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in the land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Now David's answer here is remarkable. Listen to this. And this reveals that here's a man that did know how to trust God. I've said before, I repeat it, it's important. David's faith failed. It's true. And he committed a sin. But down beneath that faith, there was a faith that never failed. And David did trust God. Listen to him. Verse 14, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. God says here are three things, choose the one. And David didn't choose any one of them. David said to the Lord, he said, I just don't want to fall into the hand of a man. And that's one of the things that I've always prayed in my ministry. Oh God, never put me in a position where I am subject to a man or man. And fortunately, as I look back on my ministry, God never put me in that position where I had to lick shoe leather. I tell you, I feel sorry today for some man in the ministry today that they have to go around licking shoe leather in order to continue. God have mercy on them. Now, David says, I don't want to be subject to man. Let me fall into the hands of God. Oh, he knows how to trust God and how wonderful it is. And you see David doing that. And the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel. That was the thing then that God sent. He says, I just want to fall in the hands of God, and I know it'll be all right, even when he punishes you. And friends, in the time of trouble today, when God does discipline us, and whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines, may I say to you, there's a tenderness in it all, and there is a comfort in it all, and there is a blessing in it all. He alone can wipe away the tears. He alone can bind up the brokenhearted. He alone can heal the wounds that are in the heart. Oh, the doctor can sew you up when you've been in an accident, but in these great emotional accidents of life, only the Lord Jesus, my friend, can bind you back up and put you together again. How we need him today on the threshold of our lives. Now we come in the last part of this book here. The last thing is that David now wants to build a temple for the Lord. And verse 18, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of the Lord, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to see his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take an offer up that seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I'll surely buy it of thee at a price. Now listen to David. Here is a noble thing that David says, and oh, that God's people would learn this today. We say, oh, we shouldn't mention finances in God's work today. Well, I recognize there's an overemphasis on it, and there's too much emphasis probably on that side. But listen to David, my friend. This man Araunah wanted to give him the threshing floor. David said, you can't give it to me. I'm going to pay you for it. Why? He says this, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. God have mercy on folk today that are taking a spiritual free ride. May I say, pay your way, and God will honor you, and God will bless you. Oh, today, I find that there are several groups, singing groups, and several pictures that have been made, Christian pictures. They couldn't even pay for these. They couldn't pay the expenses of the singing groups. You know why? God's people wouldn't give. And now they're charging. And they're having to charge, and their people criticizing them, oh, you shouldn't do that. But it's the same crowd that never gave anything. My friend, you can go to the Music Center in Los Angeles. I've never been there, never even been in it, but I am told it would cost you $5 to get way up in a balcony where you'd have to have the music piped to you. You're so far away. But people will go hear wonderful Christian music or to a wonderful service, and they'll bless and give nothing. David says, I'll never offer to God that which costs me nothing. And I say, hallelujah, David, you're a remarkable man. In fact, there are very few men like you. Even in this day, David says, I'll never offer to God anything that doesn't cost me something. And David bought the threshing floor. And you know where that threshing floor is? That's where the Mosque of Omar is today. That's where the Temple of Solomon was built. Temple of David, because David's the one who paid for the ground, my friend. And here is where the temple is to be built. We'll have to leave right off there today. We'll pick right up there next time. Beginning in 1 Kings. I hope you have the notes and outlines, friend. If not, write in right away and ask for your copy.
What a great study in 2 Samuel. If you'd like to spend a little more time yourself studying the life of David, visit our website, ttb.org, where you can listen to this book series again for free. Through Every Open Door, that's the theme of our 2018 wall calendar. Dr. McGee founded this ministry on Revelation 3:8. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Let us take you around the world every month through an open door, prompting you to pray for open Bibles and open hearts. It's a calendar that you'll love to look at all year long, and you'll find it and other Bible study resources at ttb.org/shop. Now, tomorrow, we begin our study of 1 and 2 Kings. To prepare yourself for the study ahead, be sure to download your free daily reading schedule at ttb.org. Most of our listeners agree that the best way to ready your heart and mind is to read and pray over the scripture section beforehand. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus tomorrow as we continue our 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. And until then, may God bless and keep you as you walk with Him today.
Jesus made it home, all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.